Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, welcome to Keep It Simple podcast. We're kicking it here today in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Gavin Durson here with my partner in crime.
Hey, I'm Tom LeCompte. We're at our secret recording studio on the busy corner of a Lexington Highway.
High above Harrisburg Road at the corner of New Circle and Harrisburg Road. We're coming at you.
Oh, man, you just gave away our location. Yep. Now the hackers are coming, the missiles are coming.
We do sort of have, if we were on the first floor, we do sort of have all these windows around us, which sometimes y'all may be able to hear the vehicles and ambulances and whatnot, but if you were to show up, if we were on the first floor, we would almost be kind of like some sort of big-time TV news set with people on, you know, behind us waving and all that, but no need to come over here. You won't be able to find us. So, hey, really glad you guys are here with us. Hopefully your year is off to a really good start, and I want to start out today by thanking everyone for listening. You know, Tom and I have joked a lot about this podcast, me and him being the only people that are really benefiting from this because no one listens. But it turns out there are some of you out there listening, and I've been encouraged lately. Shout out to Randy Seaver, who has been getting started with Simple Church here in Lexington, who came to me not too long ago and said that really before we'd even met, he had been listening to a lot of these podcasts, and they were an encouragement to him. And Tom, I got a great email, and perhaps we'll have Justin on not too long from now, but I got a great email from Vermont, from a guy named Justin Bagley, and Justin and I have been chatting ever since he sent me this, and I'm really excited what's going on there, but I'll read it to you. I asked him for his permission, and he said that he would be happy for me to read it. It says, "Good morning, Gavin. A couple months ago, I was approached by several close friends about starting a house church. For the last year, I've been in training to become a location pastor, quote unquote, at a large multi-site church here in Vermont. And at first, I was quite hesitant to leave the path, but promised my friends that I would pray about it and research the concept of house churches. That research led rather quickly to your website and the, get ready, Keep It Simple podcast. And if in the past several weeks, I have listened to probably one-third of those podcasts, which I told him I would not advise anyone to ingest one-third of our over 100-plus podcasts within a couple of weeks. That could be scary.
It could cause brain damage.
But he said that he'd read several articles, been studying intently in the book of Acts, which is a great place to start, by the way.
Absolutely.
From the start at the multi-site church, I was burdened by the lack of relational discipleship occurring, by the amount of money being spent on building, salary, signage, etc., and also by the hurried and stressed nature of the staff. Everyone is so busy developing systems and structures and tending to the building that hurting people within our body need to schedule appointments 3 weeks out to meet with a pastor. I tried to ignore all of this because I know with absolute certainty that God has called me to be a church planter, and that was the only exposure I'd had at the time of how that is done. I don't say all that negative stuff to run down that church. They're doing a lot of good, and a lot of people are coming to know Jesus through that ministry. I've realized, however, that the model they're following is not right for me and would burn me out quickly. God has certainly used your ministry to show me that there is another way to plant churches, and I'm quite honestly on fire for the Simple Church now. I have had a meeting with my pastor to tell him where God was directing me, and he was surprisingly supportive and even enthusiastic. I think he started to realize that I was a square peg in a round hole as well. We decided to experiment with a house church service on Christmas Eve with 5 adults and our 6 children. Everyone loved it, and I knew then I had truly found my calling. New Year's Eve, we had 7 adults, and we have 12 coming this Sunday so far. We're just getting started, and we're already seeing the seeds of multiplication in the least church state in America. I'm excited to see where God will take this ministry. I'm also meeting next week so with 2 other men who are interested in starting house churches in our community. It's all pretty new, and I'm still trying to figure out my place in all this. I love the idea of creating a network of Simple Churches here. And he goes on to say he'd like to meet up, and we've done that and talked. And, man, I'm just excited for Justin. Justin, thanks for sharing that with us. And,
hey,
man,
we
just invite everyone to be praying for you guys up there. And very excited about that.
Yeah, Justin, way to go, man. And a couple of things that struck me as Gavin was reading that. Boy, I would like to commission a study. I think you hit the nail on the head where you're getting more out of the relational aspect of it more than the program and the structure and everything like that. If there's a seminary student out there listening who needs a research project, I got one for you. Which causes burnout quicker, a relational model to ministry or a program model to ministry? There you go. Call me. So.
All right. So
but thank you for your comments, Justin, and we'll pray for you, man.
Yeah. So, and we'd love to hear from anyone else out there. Send us any comments, good or bad. I promise we'll read them, even if they're bad, we'll read them. And I'd love to hear from it, folks. So hey, I was thinking, though, Tom, with people like Justin sending this in, it sort of made me, when I was coming in today to do the show with you, I was thinking, man, this sort of puts a little pressure. I feel like it puts a little pressure on us. It's like, man, if people are actually listening out there and people are actually finding this thing.
We got to do a better job.
We got to step up our game a little bit.
Oh, man,
so,
we have to research and study and, oh, my gosh.
Oh, so a few weeks ago, Tom, I was wrestling with some different leadership type issues, and I woke up and my phone pinged me as a news article. It was really weird. It was like it pinged me with this article that was published, I guess it was like on a Saturday morning.
And then you pinged me.
In the Wall Street Journal called, the title, I just saw the title was called In Praise of Hierarchy. And I really know nothing about the author of this article.
I can't pronounce his name.
I think it's Niall Ferguson, perhaps.
Niall?
And I think he's apparently written a book. But he had an article in the Wall Street Journal, and it was published on January the 5th. And it's called In Praise of Hierarchy. And I read this, and I was thinking, this might be the best attempt at making an argument that I've often wanted to hear. And that is, what is the argument for hierarchy, specifically in the church? Now, he does not make that argument, and I'd like to talk about that.
He sort of does.
But, you know, as I've kind of been going down this path, I'm often finding myself like, what is the argument for, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously, you're listening to this podcast, maybe you're there too, but I'm obviously biased. I've gotten to a place where the only thing that makes sense to me as it relates to living out our faith in being the church in our world today is a simple church path. And I look at these structures where you have layer upon layer of hierarchy and you have, you know, call them the priest, the pope, the pastor, the whatever, and then they have all their people under them and all their people under them, and then those people, and then those people, you know, all the way down to the lowly common folk, you know, who are in the pews. You know, I look at that system and I think, man, how did we arrive at that, and why does that even make sense, just logically, much less why does that make sense based on, you know, our reading of the scripture. And I think if you want to see that, you know, you can look through that lens and find a verse here or there that can justify some of that type of thing.
I think our modern, the way we do church, at least in North America with a hierarchy, is a reflection of two things. It's a reflection of the Roman government, you know, from Constantine onwards, as well as a reflection of Old Testament priestly structures with the temple, with the Levites, the priesthood, and all of that, both of which, you know, Jesus kind of altered or if not did away with. So
yeah,
in a lot of ways we're defaulting to those structures because we understand them and they're like comfort food for us, and Jesus came to radically change all of that and make us all priests and to make us, you know, he was the one mediator between God and man. So how do we live as if we only have one mediator?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to offend anybody, but we do not theologically need the priest.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe we need somebody to explain the scriptures to us in a better way, but we do not need anyone standing between us and God to do anything that's going to be positive or negative to our souls, besides Jesus Christ.
Well, let me just read the beginning of the night. This article is very lengthy. If you're intrigued by it at all, you could go and check it out. I'm sure it's on you'll be able to find it fairly easily. Again, it's called In Praise of Hierarchy on the Wall Street Journal. But this is how the article begins. It says, "In a truth universally acknowledged, it is a truth universally acknowledged that we now live in a networked world where everyone and everything are connected. The corollary is that traditional hierarchical structures, not only states, but also churches, parties, and corporations, are in various states of crisis and decline. Disruption, disintermediation, and decentralization are the orders of the day. Hierarchy is at a discount, if not despised. Networks rule not only the realm of business and politics, too. Party establishments and their machines have been displaced by crowdfunded campaigns and viral messaging. Money, once a monopoly of the state, is being challenged by Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, which require no central banks to manage them, only consensus algorithms. But is all of this wise?" And he goes on to... I don't know if this is a fair summary of the article or not, but it seems to me that the kind of the summary of what he's saying, while decentralization seems to be the order of the day, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that hierarchy really has its place, hierarchical structures really has its place in a modern society. And I would probably agree with that to some extent, but he does throw the church in there, and he does go on to talk about, he sort of uses the example of, look at the Protestant Reformation. You know, Martin Luther challenged this hierarchy, and I think kind of what he says is saying is that, you know, at what cost, and I would say that it was a cost very worthy of yeah. payment, but yeah. I mean, he alludes to the hundred plus years after that where there's, you know, was lots of bad things that have happened. Oh, yeah. And he sort of makes the case that anytime you try to do away with hierarchy, it ends up inevitably coming back to being hierarchical. Right. And a lot of times it's not necessarily better than it was. And I don't know anything about this person's faith or where they're coming from, but I get the sense, Tom, and I think the reason I wanted to bring this up as it relates to leadership is because I do think that some of these arguments he's making, even though no one really, this is the first time, you know, and he's not really making it in the case of the church, but these are the kinds of things that are in our back of our mind, maybe for someone who's thinking about starting Simple Church. They're sort of wrestling with, can I really just set out on my own and do this? Or do I need to fall in line with the structure, the hierarchical structure of the church that I'm connected to presently? And so there's sort of this tension there. And some of these arguments, I think, are things that I think are untrue about specifically the church, maybe not so much about governments and things. I can share my thoughts about that in a minute. But I think that some of this guy's arguments are some of those seeds of doubt that really kind of hold people captive from ever exploring and pioneering right. into the places that God may want them to go.
Well, I think people find comfort in hierarchy. And that's true in all government. I mean, look at how we worship our political leaders and expect so much out of them. But in the church as well. I mean, your average churchgoer is very, very comfortable with hierarchy and very, very comfortable with having a leader that they're willing to listen to. They're willing to, you know, hear what they have to say. They're willing to be told what to do and how to think and what to believe. Because I don't know, maybe they're too lazy to figure it out for themselves, or they are just too comfortable. So that to say, the people who get the house church movement, who are instrumental in it and who are active in it, are people that recognize, well, okay, yeah, I'm somewhat comfortable with some degree of hierarchy, but what if it's not going the way it's supposed to go? What if the church is not going the way it is supposed to go? What if we're going against Scripture? What if we're doing things that are anti-Scripture? What if we're forgetting all about relationships and trying to do everything like a business, like a company? Those are the people that are getting the house church, and they're trying to, you know, pull it back into the relational aspect of it. So,
well, here's sort of some of my thoughts when I read this, as I thought, you know, this is the thing that maybe, because I certainly think that if we're going to have a military in our country, for example, that, you know, a decentralized network of of soldiers might not be the best way to combat an invading country or something like that.
That's called a gang.
Yeah. I mean, I think there could be cases of that. But here, when I read this, this was sort of my thought. And you tell me what you think, Tom.
Yeah.
My thought on this is that I think that, and the church, when we talk about structures and society, institutions, and these sorts of things, my personal feeling is that the church has gotten lumped into the institutions of America and put in the same sentence with governments and businesses and these sorts of things, not because that's the type of structure that the church is supposed to be according to what we see in the scripture, but because we have allowed ourselves to kind of get sucked into this gravitational pull. I would say the same pull that the Israelites got sucked into whenever they said, give us a king.
Yes.
You know, and we see that happen over and over again. So you have, the Reformation that pulls away from this hierarchical structure. Then what's it do several hundred years later? We have lots of these other hierarchical structures, denominations and these sorts of things kind of are doing some of the same things that they pulled away from. Now, does that mean that that's bad? I think that's good. I'm glad those things are happening. But I think we're constantly in this state of being sucked in to functioning and thinking and operating ourselves as like a business or as a institution, like a company or a government. And
right.
I'm just not so sure. I mean, I think maybe you make those cases. Maybe I'm not really trying to say whether or not, make an argument about governance. But to me, when I think of the church and when I think about what house church movement is about, it's really about saying, it really at the core, a lot of it is to say that, wait a minute, we are not called to be a institution like a business, like a government, in the sense that we're called to operate in a different world, a different realm. We're a kingdom oriented. It's not like we're not functioning in the kingdom of this world. We're functioning in God's kingdom. And in that kingdom, it truly is a different way, a different type of leadership, organization. It is something that's based on love. It's something that's supernatural at its core. So, you and I would talk a lot about this, but we would say maybe, and the way I would say is it is to be a family, Now, would we say there is hierarchy in family? Maybe you could make the argument that, yes, there is, but is it based on the things of this world? Like, not a good family, right? Not a good family. A mother and father are not viewing themselves as getting paid more than their kids or worth more, or they're not, there's not a competition in that sense in a loving family. Maybe none of us have ever experienced that. But I see the family of God as being this supernatural family that's perfect. And it's functioning like a family, like a loving mother and a loving father, raising up children in the faith, sending them out to start their own types of spiritual families. And there's not a lording over. There is a service. There is a laying down one's life, all made possible by the love of Christ. That's not something that necessarily our institutions of this world are able to do.
Yeah.
So,
well, I have lots of thoughts on that, but before we get to that, check this out. And now, Acting Out. Acting Out is the segment of our show when we look at the book of Acts in the Bible and find lessons from the early church. In this brief segment, we ask ourselves, if the first century church turned the world upside down then, what could the church today do equally well in the 21st century? From chapter 1, who is doing the work? We often think that the first command that Jesus gave the early church was to go. Go and make disciples. Go and baptize. Go and teach them my commandments. Yes, it's true that the command that we call the Great Commission was one of the first set of instructions Jesus gave his apostles before he left them. But there was a vital instruction that he gave them first. That instruction was, wait, from Acts 1, 4, and 5. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Just wait for it. It's coming. Remember that in Matthew's account of the Great Commission, Jesus said that all authority had been given to him. And also, as they did go and make disciples, he would be with us always. And he is. The Holy Spirit is with us, and we are never without him. It is only in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit that those apostles could have done what is described in the book of Acts. With the Holy Spirit, they were witnesses for Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In the Spirit's power, they went from a band of 120 frightened people huddling in an upper room to an unstoppable force which, within a few decades, turned the world upside down. This could not have been done through human power. Not then, not now. The 21st century church certainly has a lot of incredible assets. Look at how quickly we can travel to the ends of the earth. Even better, through the internet, we can communicate with the other side of the world instantly. We have talented people, vast knowledge, technology, medicine, infrastructure. In many ways, we have way more going for us than those early disciples of Jesus. Yet none of those assets can get us anywhere without the power and might of the Holy Spirit. So before we go and turn the world upside down, and I pray that we will, let us wait. Waiting doesn't mean we're idle. Waiting doesn't mean we're doing nothing. But let's wait like those disciples did. Let's pray. Let's reflect. Let's prepare. Let's wait for the Holy Spirit to join us. And when he has joined us, let's act. Let's go turn the world upside down.
All right, man, we're back from our new segment.
Yeah, okay. My thoughts about getting back to, is the church a company? Is the church a corporation? Is the church an institution? Is it a corporation? It doesn't behave like one. It's not supposed to. When I read the book of Acts, it doesn't behave like a nation state. It does not behave like a company or anything like that. If it did, the book of Acts would read a whole lot different. And it would read something like this, you know, Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came, and then we assembled an army, and then we assembled our resources, and then we trained our people, and then we, you know, organized our advance, and then we made a strategy like, okay, now we're going to go into this region, and now we're going to go into this region, and, you know, we're going to conquer and take and establish and things like that. It wasn't like that at all. It was very, very grassroots. It was very, very relational. It was like me telling you about the good news of Jesus Christ, and then you go and tell your family about the good news of Jesus Christ. And pretty soon, within two or three decades, it says that they turned the whole world upside down. And that's what we're about in the house church and in the simple church, is through relationships, through organic means, through natural means, through, you know, our businesses, our own personal businesses, relationships, our own personal family relationships, our own personal networking. That is how a supernatural, life-changing event or a life-changing phenomenon. You can't call it a religion. You can't call it an institution. It's the kingdom of God. That's how it spread. That's how it disseminated. And that's what we're trying to do today.
Yeah, I agree. And, I do think that he's right in the sense that in this work of what we're doing, if we're not intentional about who we are going to be, if we just set up and say, well, let's just be the church. And how we do that? Well, I don't know. Let's just do whatever comes naturally, or let's just see what other people are doing, or let's just see what makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Even in that, and we're gaining our wisdom from looking around at the world systems and structures. Well, of course, it's, you know, we're going to end up looking like those things. We're going to end up not being very different than a modern educational institution that of higher learning and primary, secondary school. You know, we're not going to end up looking different than these things. And so, you know, I think that's, you know, hopefully what this podcast is about is, and again, I think we're all, and I'll admit, man, I don't have all this sorted out in my brain. You know, I'm partly talking to you, Tom. The reason we did this podcast to begin with was to sort of work through these things together, and if other people benefit from listening in, that'll be a miracle, but, you know, hey, so be it. And I'm wrestling through a lot of these issues myself, so, but I do, when I read an article like this, I think, you know, there's something, what seems to be missing is that the church is supposed to not be of this world. It is not of this world. It is of another kingdom and another world. And as such, maybe it's the only, maybe we might say it would be the only thing that should be possible to be ran unlike a hierarchical institution.
Right, exactly.
You know, maybe everything else must and will and inevitably has to be. I don't know. But in my heart of hearts, I think there's leadership, there's family, there's love, and there is order, and there's submission to one another. Right. But I think we're still forming. You know, again, part of this journey is figuring that out. And but I think if we're not careful, and we just don't think, then we could end up becoming another. We could end up instituting hierarchy ourselves. We can end up looking just like the rest of the world in that. And so I think it's an important topic as we think about what does it mean to be a leader in a simple church, in a network of simple church. And so we've talked about that in the past, but this article sort of, I guess, scratched an itch there. I wanted to bring it back up.
And I think that the actual nuts and bolts of leadership within a simple church, that's for another podcast, because that's a lengthy, that's a big topic. I will say this about his article has made me reflect, and we do have elements of hierarchy. We do have certain things that corporations and structures use. You know, we have standards. We have a manual. You know, the apostles in the early church did everything according to the scriptures, and they even established new scriptures as guidelines for that. So that was their standard. That was their operating system, if you will. Their operational guide. They had that. They had communication going for them. They had networking going for them. They had the structure of the Jewish religion, the temple and everything like that. They had that going for them initially, and then they kind of outgrew that. But you know, we have some of those elements that we are to use. Certainly, you know, we can't just anarchy is not for us. You know, we have to walk that delicate balance between total anarchy, or even some anarchy, and you know, a rigid hierarchy. What I got from this article is that, you know, he looks to hierarchy as a good positive thing in some situations, but it's always dependent on a small group or a single individual who calls all the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the Pope or the United Nations, I think he's really pro UN. I think he's really pro Catholic, and that's fine. But he's looking to people for the answers when all the answers come from the Creator.
Yeah,
all the answers.
And again, like, I think that if there is a hierarchy, we might say that we answer directly to the King.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, there is a monarchy,
and
in
I'm only going to follow a person who answers to that King.
Yeah,
you know, if he's answering to something else, I'm not interested.
Yeah, and so that's again, you know, it puts the church in a completely different realm when you're talking about our leader is Jesus Christ and his spirit that now lives in every believer. And and truly, you know, he kind of quotes this idea of Martin Luther. He had this dream of the priesthood of all believers. Well, I would say that wasn't like some idea he thought was a good idea that he would try to promote. I would say that's a reality.
Yes.
That's a reality of who the Christian is, you know, and that very much sets it apart from every other thing. I mean, you know, it's not even really maybe a fair thing to talk about the church and business, politics, and Bitcoin in the same conversation, because properly understood, we're talking about a completely different system and operation.
I don't think his article applies in any way to the house church, but it does. It sparked, you know, something in you that made you think, and it's like, if we're going to argue for or against, you know, hierarchical structures, and that seems to be a big thing about simple church. Let's understand what they are. Let's understand this. Let's understand the thinking of someone who would embrace those structures. And I think this guy is like, you know, let's get back to some of this. You know,
yeah.
I miss the good old days when we had a king. I miss the good old days when the UN, you know, had me. Yeah. I miss the good old days.
Maybe that person's listening, or you know that person. Send them my way, because in all, you know, again, part of this search and part of our show, like, I would love to interview someone who says, well, we really need a hierarchical structure in the church. And I know those people are out there. I probably know them. It's not a conversation that generally comes up in most conversations. But those are things that I would love to kind of engage and wrestle with. Because I think, again, you're out here. You may be wrestling with this. And if they're not being verbalized, or those kinds of debates and discussions aren't happening, then I think the enemy can really put a lot of lies in people's mind that really hold people captive to these systems. And when God is wanting to break people free from them, and he's wanting to send people out to all the places, as he did in Luke 10, that he himself is about to go, and he wants to send us ahead and pronouncing that the kingdom of God is here, and finding those people of peace and staying with them and seeing disciples made in the church grow. And so thank you, Tom, for entertaining that. But
and thanks for finding that article. I'm glad you found it. It sparks more conversation. I think we're going to have to revisit this in a future podcast.
Yeah, perhaps maybe we can get Niall Ferguson to join us for an episode.
Well,
if that's how you
maybe,
say his name.
maybe not.
Hey, let's move on real quick. What about Stuff I Like?
Well, I just finished a good book, and I totally recommend it. You know, Gavin and I were from Kentucky, and people would call us hillbillies, or rednecks, or, you know, bumpkins, or whatever you want to call us. You call us what you want. Just listen to our podcast. But the book is called Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance, and it was written last year. And it helped me understand how a person who was raised in Appalachia or the Rust Belt of Ohio and didn't have a whole lot going for him as far as economics, but had a very strong family structure, how that either helped this person succeed or helped this person stay in a rut of poverty and social stagnation and just terrible, terrible lifestyle.
Yeah.
So obviously this guy made it, but he was the exception and not the rule. So if you want to understand poverty, if you want to understand how a cycle how poverty can just recycle itself and just become this terrible thing that's almost impossible to overcome, read Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance.
All right.
The language is terrible, but it's a good read anyway if you can get past some of the language.
Yeah. Real quick, I'm kind of somewhat hesitant to say this is stuff I like because I don't know that I've fully listened to, and I certainly don't ever, I don't know that I would fully endorse everything that this guy's saying, but I got turned on to a guy by the name of Jordan Peterson. He's from Canada, and he's got a podcast, and I learned about him through, the Andrew Clavin podcast, which people who listen to the show know I'm a fan of, and I've got time hooked
on. I don't know if I'd admit that, you know, on the air. I like Andrew Clavin, too.
But anyway.
He's kind of out there.
Yeah, but Jordan Peterson, he has some very interesting things to say, and he's fighting a free speech battle in Canada that's pretty interesting. But if you're he recently did an interview with a lady on the BBC, it was a pretty fascinating interview. It kind of made me even think about this podcast and making sure that we don't do this, but it was sort of a kind of a textbook, probably like case study on how when people interview people, if you don't really listen to what someone's saying, you can actually putting words in other people's mouths, hearing what you want to hear, and then all that to kind of cause a flame, to flame things up. It's kind of what happens in this interview. But anyways, I found him to be a very interesting guy. He's not a Christian. I don't know. I think he may believe in God or something. I heard him talk about, but he's not sure if he believes in God. He's definitely an evolutionist in some way. So, but he has some very interesting views about the freedom of speech, about the differences between male and female. And he's actually a guy who I think really sees the value in religion, in Christianity, even though he doesn't necessarily believe in it. So he's had some interesting dialogue about some of that. But yeah, if you're interested, I guess by trade, he's a professor and he's a psychologist. And he also has a practice where he helps folks work through things like that. So check him out, Jordan Peterson. If you can probably look him up today or closely, to the BBC interview will probably one of the top things that seems like it's sort of been passed around on the internet. And it's with some lady by the last name Newman that interview happens with. So there it is.
I was just listening to that on the way up here driving.
That's hilarious.
Well, that's hilarious.
Check it out.
All right.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and we'll hope to see you again soon.
Write us, leave us comments. We love to hear comments. We'll read them on the air.
Yep. And as always, you know, it does help get the word out if you're able to share it or like us on Facebook. Go on iTunes or Stitcher and rate the podcast, leave a comment. All that stuff really does help other folks like Justin. Yeah, like Justin, it helps folks like him find us. So thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.